Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. Stocks are rallying after this morning's jobs report. The NASDAQ Composite Index trading above its record close for the first time in a year, putting it on the verge of joining the S&P 500 index at a record. S&P up 15 to 2179, a gain of 0.7%. NASDAQ up 1% now, up 53 points, 5219 on the NASDAQ Composite Index. Dow Industrials up 161 points, a gain of 0.9% to 18,513. The 10-year down 24 30 seconds, the yield 1.58%. Gold down 23.90 the ounce to 13.38, a drop there of 1.8%. Crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, 41.84 a barrel, down 9 cents, a drop there of 0.2%. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Kathleen Hayes and Kim Fox on Bloomberg Radio.
Pakistan's gain is Citibank's loss. After a decades-long career on Wall Street, our next guest went on to become the finance minister and then the prime minister of Pakistan. I want to welcome to the program Shaukat Aziz. He is the former prime minister of Pakistan and the author of a new book entitled From Banking to the Thorny World of Politics. Prime Minister, thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Delighted to be here.
Please describe where you were and the circumstances when you received a telephone call that changed your life.
Well, I was in New York, 399 Park Avenue, Citibank headquarters, sitting in my office. My secretary, Pam, I was attending a meeting in my conference room next to my office, and she came with a little piece of paper saying there's somebody on the line from Pakistan. They say there's some general who wants to talk to you. So I thought to myself, general, I don't know many generals there, but I said, Pam, are you sure? She said, yes. So I went out, took the call, and his secretary was on the line, and they connected General Musharraf to me. For the first time ever in my life, I spoke to him. Hadn't seen him before, and he talked about the fact that he had taken over, if you remember, just a few days before. And he said, our economy is in dire straits. I need a professional who can turn this whole economy around, because that's sort of the foundation of the whole country's revival. Excuse me. And you seem to be one of the candidates. We have sort of done an exercise of Pakistanis living abroad, and your name pops up. So I'd like you to come and see me in Islamabad, Pakistan. And that's how it started.
I wonder, Mr. Prime Minister Matt Miller here with Pim Fox, weren't you at all concerned? I mean, going from the what I would assume is the fairly cushy life of a banker in the corporate world to a military government in a fairly volatile part of the world, didn't you give it a second thought before you went ahead and joined General Musharraf?
No, I didn't join him then. I said, okay, I'll come and talk to you. And I then went to see Sandy Weill and John Reed. I had two bosses at the time because we had merged, if you remember, with Citicorp had merged with Travelers Group. So we had from one chairman and CEO, we had two. And I told him this is the story, and I think I should go because he's now the president of the country. And if he wants to see me, I think, unless you two have any objection. They said, no, no, because if he has called himself, spoken to you, what you do in the end, of course, we don't know. I didn't know also. I said, but at least I should go and talk to him. And at that point, I wasn't certain that I would really accept it or not. I didn't you know, I've never met the gentleman. So, and I told all this to Sandy and John, and they said, okay, we think you should go and at least talk to him so that he doesn't then later on feel that you didn't respond to his request. And I took a flight and went and saw him.
And then you eventually ended up in London on the way back to the United States, and you got another telephone call.
This
has to do with them finally getting to you and convincing you.
That telephone call came in New York when I was back.
Speak a little bit about when you actually did decide to join.
Well, I went and saw him, and I had never met him, so I was curious what he's all about. And then he had me meet his sort of core group of generals. And this is the first time I stepped into our equivalent of the Pentagon, if you know what I mean. So it was to that extent, I was curious. I also went with a lot of trepidation, not knowing what's in store and what they have in mind and what will happen to the country. These were early days. So I had a chat, and they said, what do you think of our economy? I said, it's not well managed, and you are in serious trouble. You have cash flow issues, etc., and a lot of surgery is needed. They said, okay, after a discussion, we'll come back to you. We are talking to several people. I said, no problem. Anytime you need free advice, just call me. We can talk on the phone from now on. So no offer was made in that trip. Then I came back, and that's what you're talking about, the second call. I came back to New York, and then I was doing my normal life. I was one of the seniors at Citibank. So we had a conference in London. I walked into my hotel room, and the phone rang, and that's what you were alluding to. That's exactly what happened later.
Did you, Mr. Prime Minister, did you effectively act as a bridge then between Pakistan and the global investment banks that you were employed by before, or did Pakistan already have a decent relationship with banks like Citi?
Yeah, Pakistan, I mean, was not really dealing much with the private banks, like Citibank or JP Morgan, et cetera. They were mostly in the IMF World Bank orbit, if you know what I mean.
Of course.
They were used to dealing with development institutions rather than commercial. They had accounts, of course. Every government and every institution needs accounts to clear their dollar payments in New York, and so they had accounts with us, but it was not an active relationship. There was no evidence that we were close to the government in any way.
Can you just tell the story about when you were campaigning, because you had to become a member of the of Parliament in order to assume some of your duties, and you were campaigning in the Attock district?
That is correct.
Tell us what happened.
What happened is this was the last day of my campaign, you know. This is fast forward. I was finance minister, and then because we did a good job, we turned things around. The general consensus was, why don't we make him the prime minister of the country? Prime minister, as you know, is the chief executive, although in this case we had the president also very active because he came from the military at the time and he had done the coup. So anyway, that was the last event, and I was euphoric. I was very excited. The campaign has gone well, blah, blah, blah. This was to be an MP, member of parliament, because we have the parliamentary system of government like the British have, because we were a colony of Britain, so we followed that process. And long story short, I gave a very emotional, addressed an emotional rally of several thousand people, and then it came, we finished the meeting. I walked out of the canopy. There was a huge circus-type canopy where these couple of thousand people were there to get into my car, which was by now, in the campaign, they give you security and a bulletproof, bomb-proof car in case somebody tries to act funny. And I was, I sat in the car, and about 5 seconds later, there was a huge explosion. On one side of the car, my driver just, and this was a level 7 of armoring of a car. So it's bomb-proof, bulletproof, so they say. But in actual fact, there was a huge bomb which exploded next to my car. And it was targeted at my door, but I don't want to go into unnecessary details. But because of various reasons, the car had moved without the person who pressed the button to explode the bomb knowing that. So there's these 2 seconds gap, and in that the car had moved about 3 feet, or 2 feet, sorry. So it hit the driver's door rather than my door. The driver died instantly in my, he fell like this into my arms. I was behind him. It was quite a shock. I had not expected this coming from Manhattan in New York to Islamabad to have a welcome like this.
No,
anyway,
it's exactly
a traumatic experience.
It's exactly the kind of trauma that I'm thinking of. What conclusions did you come to then, and how do you think Pakistan now deals with the effects of terrorism or the people that commit terrorist acts? You know, I mean, there a lot of Americans feel like Afghanis terrorists living in Pakistan get their help, even Osama bin Laden, maybe.
No, so these were the ultra-right. They issued a statement from Cairo, Egypt. Al-Qaeda issued a statement from Cairo, Egypt after the attack on me that this person had been sent by the United States as in to be, he's their agent, and it was therefore decided by our high command to eliminate him before he assumes office.
I think I'm going to have to, that'll have to be a great tease for your book, Mr. Prime Minister, because unfortunately we don't have any more time, but you can get his book, From Banking to the Thorny World of Politics, and find out exactly how former Prime Minister of Pakistan, Shaukat Aziz, dealt with that situation. I'm Matt Miller with Pim Fox on the Bloomberg Advantage. This is Bloomberg.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.